Rocking Out of the American Awakening, Turn the Music Down. Okay, there we go. Yeah, he says we use it against hate mongers, anti-Semitism. And it's a recent creation by the Jews. Jews tell us what constitutes anti-Semitism and when it exists. All the anti-Semitism that exists in the United States is the deliberate creation of the Jewish leaders. The Jews want and need this tool as a control to silence the opposition to their harmful and repugnant ways. It was made clear that I despise the Jews, corruptive influence on our Christian culture and on our properly Christ-oriented American way of life, to which Rosenthal replied, during Christ's time, the Jews were seeking a material and earthly kingdom. Now, get this, folks. And by the way, there's some stuff, there's some sentences and there's some statements made by this Rosenthal guy that are so appalling, yet in the context of what I've shown you over the previous week and a half, 2 weeks, this has to be true. It's credible. This guy was credible, and I think he was killed for it. During Christ's time, the Jews were seeking a material and earthly kingdom. But Christ offered the Jews a spiritual kingdom. This they didn't buy, so they rejected Jesus Christ and had him crucified. What do you mean, had him crucified? Doesn't history prove that the Jews crucified Jesus Christ? To which Rosenthal answered, yes, I guess they did. I don't beat around the bush, but 2,000 years ago, your people would have done the same thing to a man who mistreated you as Christ did the Jews. Christ mistreated the Jews? He tore up the temple, the money changers. You speak of Jesus Christ as merely a man. Rosenthal, that's all he was, a man who walked on earth like any other man, and this myth about Christ rising from the dead and returning to earth to visit with his disciples is a bunch of crap. The Jews who drove the Arabs out of Palestine did so to disprove Christ's missions for a spiritual kingdom. You see, instead of a leader who would make an empire for the Jews, your kind of people gave the Jews a peaceful preacher called Christ who, instead of an eye for an eye, turns the other cheek. That's rubbish. We are building and, in fact, have built an earthly empire without your kind and your disapproving Messiah. I can see that it is you and your kind who try to get Christ out of Christmas. I feel sorry for you, to which Rosenthal replied, don't give me that S with a hit. I don't want your pity. I don't need it. Too many Jews do not have the guts to tell you how we live and plan, but I am not intimidated by anyone or anything. I know where I'm going. When asked why the Jews frequently change their names, he said, Jews are the most intelligent people in the world, so if it benefits them to change their names, they do so. That's all there is to it. They mix in your society, which is plenty corrupt, so while the Jews are benefiting themselves, the dumb goy don't realize that these Jews with non-Jew names are Jews. I know what you're thinking about Jews in the government who use non-Jew names. Well, don't be concerned, because in the foreseeable future, there will be no presidential power in the United States. The invisible government is taking strength in that direction. Now, remember, this is back in 1976. To your knowledge, why are the Jews in Russia really persecuted, or are they given any kind of freedom? To which Rosenthal replied, most Jews throughout the world, I'd say more than 90%, know what is really happening to our people. We have communication unequaled anywhere. It is only the jerks, the ignorant, the misinformed, the degenerates who can find peace in your society, and you bastards hide your sins by donning sheep's clothing. You are the hypocrites, not the Jews, as you say and write about. To answer your question about Russia, there are two distinct governments, one visible and the other invisible. The different nationalities, whereas the invisible is composed of all Jews. The powerful Soviet secret police takes its orders from the invisible government. There are about 6 to 7 million communists in Soviet Russia. 50% are Jews and about 50% Gentile. But the Gentiles are not trusted. The communist Jews are united and trust each other, while the others spy on one another. About every 5 or 6 years, the secret Jewish board calls for the purge of the party, and many are liquidated. Now, when he was asked why, he said, because they begin to understand too much of the Jewish secret of government. Russian communists have a secret group order which consists of Jews only. They rule over everything pertaining to the visible government, and it was this wonderful organization that was responsible for the secret removal of the center of communism to Tel Aviv, from where all instructions now originate. The question, does our government and the United Nations have knowledge of this? Rosenthal replied, the United Nations is nothing but a trapdoor to the Red World's immense concentration camp. We pretty much control the UN. And when asked why the communists destroy the middle class or educated and their entire families when they invade a country, Rosenthal replied, it is an established rule to destroy all members of pre-existing government, their families and relatives, but never Jews. They destroy all members of the police, state police, army officers, and their families, but never Jews. You see, we know when a government begins to search for the communists within its borders, they are really attempting to uncover Jews in their area. We're not fooled. The invisible rulers in the communist countries have a world control over the propaganda and the governments in free countries. We control every media of expression, including newspapers, magazines, radio, and television, even your music. We censor the song released for publication long before they reach the publishers. Before long, we will have complete control of your thinking, and those who do not have the right to conquer their enemies must resort to mind control, which eventually can be more effective than outright physical control, as none are aware of the control, and thus no resistance is made. The way you boast, if this is true, it is frightening to think about our future and that of Christianity, to which, again, Rosenthal replies, there will be a forced class of warfare here in the United States, and many will be liquidated. You will unquestionably be among them. The Jews will not be harmed. And I'm not boasting. I'm giving you the facts, and it is too late for your Christian followers to put up a defense. That time is long past. Long, long ago, we had to become the aggressors. That is undoubtedly one of our great purposes in life. We are the aggressors. And after reminding him that we thought he was intelligent, but now realize that he doesn't know what he was talking about, Rosenthal replied, Judaism is the unequaled culture with nothing anywhere in the world to compare with it. Your so-called Christianity is an outgrowth of Judaism. The culture and intellectual influence of Judaism is felt throughout the entire world, and yes, throughout civilization. And when asked whether he thought we faced a problem eventually with the blacks because of their startling population increase, he said that the blacks are helping to serve the Jews' purpose, which might mean several things. We discussed the black invasion of city, county, and state, and their prominence now in television. Also, how ridiculous it is for blacks to become converted to Jews, like Sammy Davis, for example. And Rosenthal replied, that doesn't mean anything. We know that a black cannot become a Jew and that Sammy Davis is still black. It may have been to this advantage to become converted. In reality, he still remains, and I'm not going to use it, but he uses the N. He still remains an N and not a Jew. I told him of my in-depth study of the Jews and that there were few who have done more research on world Jewry than I, and about my unpleasant discoveries, reminding Mr. Rosenthal that there is no morality among Jews. Rosenthal replied, money is more important than morality. We can accomplish anything with money. Our people are proving that in Israel, where it's strength against attack, it is its permanent state of war readiness. Israel can now win in any encounter. The kibbutz-raised intellectual elements are going to build that small country into a Mideast wonderland, and it will also eventually be the base for world government headquarters, i.e. Jerusalem, that they just made the capital of Israel. Talmudic Judaism is a religion of Jewish world control and slavery. They discussed the tragedy of Watergate and the corruption at all levels of government and suggested that government representatives practice more openness and candor in dealing with the people. And Rosenthal replied to that, what good would it do? What the hell does the public know about the running of government? The great majority are, well, as John would say it, asshats. Horses' asshats. When asked if he could be quoted on that, he said, I don't care. What you do is, as I said, few have the guts to speak out. We would all have better understanding between each other, Jews and Gentiles, if we spoke out more openly. Your people don't have guts. We establish your thinking. We even place you within a guilt complex, making you afraid to criticize Jewry openly. And they do that with the Holocaust. Anti-Semitic. Never again. In the quietness of this enlightening conversation, it became clear that the understanding poured forth did not come from a novice. Rosenthal was asked how Jews gain acceptance so easily among other races. His answer was long and thorough. Rosenthal replied, "At a very early date, urged on by the desire to make our way in the world, Jews began to look for a means whereby we might distract all attention from the racial aspect. What could be more effective, and at a time more above suspicion, than to borrow and utilize the idea of a religious community? We've been forced to borrow this idea from the Aryans. We Jews never possessed any religious institution which developed out of our own consciousness, for we lack any kind of idealism. This means that a belief in life beyond this terrestrial existence is foreign to us. As a matter of fact, the Talmud does not lay down principles with which to prepare the individual for a life to come, but furnishes only rules for the sumptuous life in this world. It is a collection of instructions for maintaining the Jewish race and regulating intercourses between us and the Goy. Our teachings are not concerned with moral problems, but rather with how to get. This explains the parasitic nature of the Jewish people. Jews never get rich off one another, but seek to get the labor and wealth of others. Now, in regard to the moral value of the Jews' religious teaching, there exists quite exhaustive studies which show the kind of religion that we have in a light that makes it look uncanny to the Aryan mind. We are the best example of the kind of product which religious training evolves. Our life is of this world only, and our mentality is as foreign to the true spirits of Christianity as our character was to the founder of this new creed 2,000 years ago. The founder of Christianity made no secret of his estimation of the Jews and the fact that he was not one of us. When he found it necessary, he drove us out of the temple of God, because then, as always, we used religion as a means of advancing our commercial interests. The merchants of Babylon have commercialized our society. But at the time, we managed to nail Jesus to the cross for his attitude towards us. Whereas the modern Christians enter into party politics, and in order to win elections, they debase themselves by begging for Jewish votes. They even enter into political intrigues with us against the interests of their own nation. These people have been called by various names: scallywags, political prostitutes, carpetbaggers, charlatans, traitors, stooges, pawns, etc. How many of those do we currently have sitting in the walls of government, folks? We can live among other nations and states only as long as we succeed in persuading them that the Jews are not a distinct people, but are a representation of a religious faith who therefore constitute a religious community. Though this be of a peculiar character, and as a matter of fact, this is the greatest of our falsehoods. The Jews have established five major falsehoods which work to conceal their nature and protect their status and power. To wit, number one, by the way, these are all falsehoods, folks. Number one, the Jews are Israelites and thus God's chosen people. According to Rosenthal, they are neither. Number two, Jesus Christ was a Jew. According to Rosenthal, he was not. Number three, that 6 million Jews were killed in the Holocaust during World War II. According to Rosenthal, they were not. And all Jews know it. Number four, well, all knowing Jews know it. Number four, that all races are equal, or that all are brothers. And this is untrue. That the Jews are just another religious group. They are not. That's some pretty powerful stuff, folks. He goes on to say that we are obliged to conceal our own particular character and mode of life so that we will be allowed to continue our existence as a parasite among the nations. These are his words, not mine. Our success in this line has gone so far that many believe that the Jews among them are genuine Frenchmen or Englishmen or Italians or Germans who just happen to belong to a religious domination which is different from that prevailing in these countries, especially in circles concerned with government. where the officials have only a minimum of historical sense, we are able to impose our infamous deception with comparative ease. Therefore, is never the slightest suspicion that we Jews form a distinct nation and are not merely the adherents of a confession. The one glance at a press which we control ought to furnish sufficient evidence to the contrary, even for those who possess only the smallest degree of intelligence. How much intelligence do we have? We're the sharpest group of people in the country, folks, because we know the truth. He's talking about the press. There's not the slightest suspicion that they form a distinct nation within the press. Only those who put on the glasses like us and can see. The dumbed-down sheeple out there, that's who he's talking about. Does it become a danger for us? Absolutely. When questioned about the ways in which the Jews have gained power, Rosenthal stated, "Our power has been created through the manipulation of the national monetary system. We authored the quotation, 'Money is power.' As revealed in our master plan, it was essential for us to establish a private national bank. The Federal Reserve System fitted right into our plan nicely since it is owned by us, but the name implies that it is a government institution. And from the very outset, our purpose was to confiscate all of the gold and silver, replacing them with worthless, non-redeemable paper notes. This we have done." And indeed, I agree with him. Yes, folks, that is what they have done. When asked about the term non-redeemable notes, Rosenthal replied, "Prior to 1968, listen closely, folks, prior to 1968, the gullible goy could take a $1 Federal Reserve note into any bank in America and redeem it for a dollar, which was by law a coin containing 412.5 grains of 90% silver. And up until 1933, one could have redeemed the same note for a coin of 25 4/5 grain of 90% gold. All we do is give the goy more non-redeemable notes, or else copper slugs. But we never give them their gold or silver. Only more paper," he said contemptuously. "We Jews have prospered through the paper gimmick. It's our method through which we take money and give only paper in return. The economic problem of America and the world is ultimately a Jewish problem. Or as Henry Ford stated, quote, 'The money question, properly solved, is the end of the Jewish question and every other question of a mundane nature,' unquote." That is out of the International Jew, Volume 3, page 221. "Can you give an example of this?" we asked. Rosenthal, "Well, the examples are numerous, but a few readily apparent are the stocks and bond market. All forms of insurance and the fractional reserve system practiced by the Federal Reserve Corporation, not to mention the billions in gold and silver that we have gained in exchange for the paper notes, stupidly called money. Money power was essential in carrying out our master plan of international conquest through propaganda." And when asked how they proposed doing this, Rosenthal said, "At first, by controlling the banking system, we were able to control corporation capital. And through this, we acquired total monopoly of the movie industry, the radio networks, and the newly developing television media, the printing industry, the newspapers, the periodicals, and technical journals that already had fallen into our hands. The richest plum was later to come when we took over the publication of all school materials. Through these vehicles, we could mold public opinion to suit our own purposes. The people are only stupid pigs that grunt and squeal the chance that we give them, whether they be truth or whether they be lies." Then he goes into mind control. And when asked if the Jews felt any threat from the silent majority, Rosenthal laughed at the idea, saying, "There is no such thing as a silent majority because we control their cry and their hue. The only thing that exists is an unthinking majority, and unthinking they will remain." I hear the music coming up. Is this getting deep enough for you, folks? Is this ringing a few bells off in your mind here? Can you equate this to what's going on in our world? Can you equate this to why they jailed the bankers in Iceland? Can you equate to why Hitler threw them out of Germany? We'll be back in 3. Be right back.
For the past 14 years, it's been my privilege to host the National Intel Report on RBN, to offer a platform to interview exceptional guests, to provoke critical thought, and examine evidence, whether real, fake, or somewhere in between, and allow our audience to call in and participate with your input and questions, in order to help us all reach an educated decision and arrive at our own truth. Our world has changed. It's now been turned on its head. Real is now considered fake, and mainstream fake is now pushed as real, rather than any clear thinking, consensus, or rationale.
Those few remaining beacons of light, the ones still shining through the mainstream media lies, propaganda, and deception, are being viciously attacked at every level through attempts at censorship, threatening advertisers, jailing hosts, and even killing journalists brave enough to speak the truth to you. We are in a war for our very freedom and existence, and through these despicable acts, freedom haters, collectivists, and communitarians have shown they will stop at nothing to blot out these last few beacons of light. Truth is becoming increasingly more difficult to unmask, just as the term unmasking itself is spoken by those usually anonymous sources. They promote their lies, wishing to mask the truths by ignoring it, vilifying it, or conspiratorializing it into a black hole abyss.
Regrettably, RBN has reached the tipping point, and through internal audit and actuarial review, it has now been determined that the only life raft of survival to this network is to go the way of PBS, that being audience-supported. Like a cornered animal, the left with veracity is pulling out all the stops with every effort to effectively blacken our beacon forever. Help us, folks. Help yourselves. Don't let our light stop shining. Our motto has always been, because you can handle the truth. It's time to review your budget, folks. If you want the truth to keep flowing through RBN, go to republicbroadcasting.org and become a regular monthly donor of 30, 40, 50, or 100 or more a month and ensure you keep the truth flowing.
You've probably heard about all the great benefits of goat milk soap. But did you know? Some companies take shortcuts. At Old New England Soap, we make our organic goat's milk soap using 36% goat's milk. That's 17% more than most others. Our bars are larger, so they last longer, producing lots of lather packed with vitamins. And our soap is a natural moisturizer that smooths dry and damaged skin. Order online at oldnesoap.com. That's oldnesoap.com. You've tried the rest. Now try the best. Oldnesoap.com.
Water-based soaps on supermarket shelves use harsh chemical acids to break down dead skin cells. And that's just not good for you. At Old New England Soap, our soaps are made without chemical ingredients, contain no alcohol or petroleum products, and use 85% organic materials and carry the USDA's organic certification. Try some today. Go to oldnesoap.com. That's oldnesoap.com. Oldnesoap.com.
Folks, I'm not backing down. I don't know how far I can go with this, but no, I'm not backing down. So, yeah, there's no such thing as a silent majority because we control their cry and their hue. The only thing that exists in an unthinking majority, and unthinking they will remain as long as their escape from our rigorous service, is the opiate of our entertainment industry. And by controlling said industry, we have become the taskmasters and the people of slaves. When the pressure of daily toil builds to an explosive degree, we have provided the safety valve of momentary pleasure. The television and movie industries furnish the necessary temporary distraction. These programs are carefully designed to appeal to the sensuous emotions, never to the logical thinking mind. Because of this, the people are programmed to respond according to our dictates, not according to reason. Silent, they never are. Thinking, they will remain. Continuing his thought of Jewish control over the Goy, Mr. Rosenthal said, "We have castrated society through fear and intimidation. Its manhood exists only in combination with a feminine outward appearance." LGBTQ, can you think of that? "Being so neutered, the populace has now become docile and easily ruled. As all geldings in nature, their thoughts are not involved with the concerns of the future and their posterity, but only with the present toil and the next meal." Now, it was obvious that the excitement of Rosenthal was triggered when mention was made of the nation's industry. Rosenthal said that we have been successful in dividing society against itself by pitting labor against management, the social labor movement, employing labor unions, a manipulation of wages and prices, and government regulation of business, was the brainchild of the Jews such as Karl Marx and Samuel Gompers. The result was a destruction of free enterprise. This perhaps has been one of our greatest feats, since in reality it was a triangle. Though only two points ever seem to occur. In modern industry, where exists capital, which force we represent, is the apex. Both management and labor are on the base of this triangle. They continually stand opposed to each other, and their attention is never directed to the head of their problem. Management is forced to raise prices since we are ever increasing the cost of capital. Labor must have increasing wages, and management must have higher prices, thus creating a vicious cycle. We are never called to ask or to task for our role, which is the real reason for inflation, since the conflict between management and labor is so severe that neither has time to observe our activities. It is our increase in the cost of capital that causes the inflation cycle. We do not labor or manage, and yet we receive the profits. Through our money manipulation, the capital that we supply industry costs us nothing. Through our national bank, the Federal Reserve, we extend book credit, which we create from nothing, to all local banks who are member banks. They in turn extend book credit to industry. Thus, we do more than God, for all of our wealth is created from nothing. Well, you look shocked, don't be. It's true. We actually do more than God. With this supposed capital, we bring industry, we bring management and labor into our debt, which debt only increases and is ever as never liquidated. And through this continual increase, we are able to pit management against labor so they will never unite and attack us and usher in a debt-free industrial utopia. We are the necessary element since we expend nothing. Management can create its own capital, the profits, its business would grow and profits increase. Labor would prosper as well, while the price of the product would remain constant. The prosperity of industry, labor, and management would continually increase. We Jews glory in the fact that the stupid goy have never realized that we are the parasites consuming an increasing portion of production, while the producers are continually receiving less and less. This is heavy, folks, and this ties in part and parcel with what I've been reporting on over the last weeks. Does this make sense to you? Now, I tell you, there's two parts to this, and I'm not even through part one. And I'm considering opening up the phone lines, getting your thoughts on this, because I think this is going to have to roll over into a show tomorrow. This is astonishing. It is shocking. It is scary. It is, from my knowledge, yes, indeed written in the bits and snippets of the Talmud that I've been able to get my hands on. Remember back in the day, years ago, Reverend Ted Pike used to come on and talk about this sort of thing. I don't know what happened to him. Haven't heard from him in a long time. We'll be back in three. I'll open the phone lines, 800-313-9443, and I'll take pauses if the phone rings. Be right back.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
You've probably heard about all the great benefits of goat milk soap. But did you know? Some companies take shortcuts. At Old New England Soap, we make our organic goat's milk soap using 36% goat's milk. That's 17% more than most others. Our bars are larger, so they last longer, producing lots of lather packed with vitamins. And our soap is a natural moisturizer that smooths dry and damaged skin. Order online at oldnesoap.com. That's oldnesoap.com. You've tried the rest. Now try the best. Oldnesoap.com.
Water-based soaps on supermarket shelves use harsh chemical acids to break down dead skin cells. And that's just not good for you. At Old New England Soap, our soaps are made without chemical ingredients, contain no alcohol or petroleum products, and use 85% organic materials and carry the USDA's organic certification. Try some today. Go to oldnesoap.com. That's oldnesoap.com. Oldnesoap.com.
Hi, folks. CBD is the home run hitter for health right now. Why, you ask? Because of what it does for the body. Unfortunately, I can't tell you all about the benefit. You know, there's reasons. Do your due diligence and log on to ancientlifeoil.com. That's ancientlifeoil.com. Ancient Life Oil uses organic ingredients and is blended in coconut oil for some of the best benefits. Legal in 50 states and non-psychoactive. Log on to ancientlifeoil.com. That's ancientlifeoil.com.
Do you worry a lot? Whether you're a college student, busy professional, parent, or grandparent, ongoing stress and elevated levels of the stress hormone cortisol can rob your memory, your health, and your future. Now you can combat the effects of stress and anxiety while improving your memory and recall at the same time with the dietary supplement Calm and Clever. Studies show that the ingredients in Calm and Clever reduce cortisol by as much as 30% in 1 to 2 weeks. Call 1-800-758-8746 or calmandclever.com.
Do you know there is an ongoing war right here in America? Are you aware that U.S. citizens have been classified as enemies of the state since 1933? Have you recognized that our entire government is really a vast network of interlocking corporations engaged in commerce? Look up Title 28, Section 3002. Tune in to In Defense of Humanity on Saturday nights at 7 p.m. Central Time. Find out what's really going on and learn how to protect yourself and your family as flesh and blood men and women living in a corporate reality.
Homeowners, if your lender has gone out of business or sold your transaction to another lender or servicer, you may be the victim of a wrongful foreclosure resulting in the loss of your home. If you've already lost your home, are in foreclosure, or even in good standing, you can challenge the mortgage transaction's illegal issue and your property can be restored to you, and your foreclosure can be stopped or reversed and the mortgage transaction declared unenforceable. State laws, U.S. title codes, the Uniform Commercial Codes, and U.S. Supreme Court rulings have upheld that defective mortgage documentations can reverse or stop foreclosures and enforce property title claims in favor of the homeowner. We are having successes in stopping the process of foreclosure, the enforcement of the foreclosure judgments, the sale of property, and evictions after the sale. We are not attorneys, and we don't give legal advice. We are a professional team of legal researchers, providing forensic mortgage audits and expert witnesses. We have the knowledge to produce the evidence and enforce laws regarding your legal issues. We've been in business for 12 years without a complaint. Consultations are free, and we provide a free title search to confirm if your mortgage has legal defects. Please call 855-253-3748. 855-2, keep it today.
Well, it's all right, riding around in the breeze. Well, it's all right, if you live the life you please. Well,
yes, it's all right, folks, if you're riding around in the breeze and living the life you please. All right, let's take a call. Let's go to Alan in Texas. Alan, how you doing today, buddy?
Good, Michael. Thank you for taking my call. Yeah, you know, the subject you've been talking on here, you know, I realized that it was more than likely the truth, but, you know, it was always in the back of my head, you know, as deep as the ingraining, you know, it's ingrained in us, you know, well, that's anti-Semitic, you know. That's a terrible thing. Until I got hold of a copy of Henry Ford's The International Jew. And as I was reading that volume number one, Michael, I kept flicking back to look at the copyright date of this book. Because what they were saying after World War One, and if I'm not correct, it's been a while since I read it, but they were saying that even before World War One about something, weren't they? That a bunch of them had been killed in a Holocaust, and then after World War One, they said the same thing and used the same number. 6 million were killed after, you know, in World War One, and all this devastation. I never realized really that the manipulation involved in this, Michael, until I started reading that. And I couldn't tell you how many times I had to turn back to the front of the book and make sure that I was reading the copyright date right, because it was what they're squalling about now. You know,
oh, I know.
World War II,
I tell you what, Alan. Yes, it is. It's indeed manipulation. And these guys sit back behind closed doors, and laugh at us. They call us the goy. This guy even blurts it out. Okay, that they know that the Holocaust didn't happen. They know it. Now, I'm not saying that all Jews know it, but I'm talking about the people in the know, the people that are the constructs of this, the secret societies and so forth. Oh, yeah, they all know it, and they use it as a tool against us, to the point where it's become a religion all its own, and it is a form of intimidation where people are afraid to even speak out about it. And once we crack through that is when their curtain's going to fall. Go ahead.
Yeah, I totally agree with you. You know, it's hard to, you know, sit and just talk about this subject all the time, because then everyone thinks it's like, well, he just hates Jews, you know. But people out there, if you have any question about this, try to get a hold of a copy of at least his, the volume number one of Henry Ford's The International Jew, and sit down and read it, and I guarantee you'll find yourself flicking back to the front pages to see what the copyright date is. Because we can talk about it all the time, but until you read something that was produced way before World War II, you know, until you actually read this and see that they were squalling about the same thing then and the same thing now, you begin to realize how deep the manipulation that they have and the stronghold that they have on our society and a lot of societies around this planet. You know,
is that back? Is that back?
Really begin to understand.
Is that back during the time when Henry Ford was manufacturing the Model T? What was the copyright date?
Yeah, these came out. It was what it was like 1920. It was shortly after World War One, when
okay.
And the only paper that he could get to publish these articles was the Dearborn Press. So what the book is, it's a compilation of his articles that were written in the Dearborn Press in that
particular
newspaper. It was the only one that would
yeah, because even back then the medium was being gobbled up, absorbed by these people. That's why.
Yeah.
The great thought here. You know, before this show's over, though, I want to get into the next topic on this Rosenthal on religion, because this stuff is so shocking, so horrifying. But in the world around us, as we see this unfolding, this is very, very true. You can't deny the words of this guy, because everything we see unfolding is a product of this. And this was 42 years ago that this guy was interviewed. So look at the progress that they've made since then, Alan. Go ahead. Anything else?
It's amazing. No, I'll let you get on with your show. I just thought I'd interject that if you have any doubts, people, get a copy of The International Jew and read it, and it will amaze you.
Thank you, Alan. Appreciate the call. Appreciate the input. Okay. Yeah. Religion, too, must be taught. And through this necessity, we have labored. As the Jew Karl Marx stated, religion is the opiate of the people. And with our control of the textbook industry and the news media, we have been able to hold ourselves up as the authorities on religion. Many of our rabbis now hold professorships in supposed Christian theological seminaries. We are amazed by the Christian stupidity in receiving our teachings and propagating them as our own. This is one of the main reasons for the power and the control Jews have attained over white nations, the adopting of Jewish ways. And as Henry Ford stated, the Christian cannot read his Bible except through Jewish spectacles, and therefore reads it wrong. As a result, Christians don't have God's word on a certain matter. They have the Jew's word. Judaism is not only the teaching of the synagogue, but also the doctrine of every Christian church in America. Though through our propaganda, the church has become our most vivid supporter, and this has even given us a special place in society, they're believing the lie that we are the chosen people. And by the way, he goes on to say that, yeah, he's the chosen people, but wait until I share with you who their real God is. So let's go to Francis in North Carolina with that. Francis, you're on with Michael. How are you doing today?
Hey. Hey,
hello.
Youngin.
Hey.
Hello.
How you doing?
I'm breathing.
Okay, that's good. That's a good sign.
Yeah, tell me about it. And conscious, too. You know, as much as this is almost mind-blowing, at the same time, it's not, because you're going to have two sides of a coin that, if they hear this, one side of the coin is going to be very awake to this and like, okay, yeah, there's nothing new about this, so what else is new? Whereas on the other side of the coin, you're going to have people that are going to think, oh, how could you speak so deplorable about these people and what they represent and whatever. I mean, they are our brothers and sisters. We need to guard and protect them and all this garbage. In so many words, or whatever have you. So how could you say, speak so low of them and so forth ad nauseum? So the question is, whenever people finally wake up, snap out of their stupor, as I mentioned a while back or whatever the case might be, maybe not to you or whatever, and people actually start looking with their eyes as to what's going on and not just, well, I should say, looking with their spiritual eyes and not looking with just their material eyes.
No, I get it. And Francis, I have to let you go because my calls are lined up and I have a very limited time in the show. But that's part of the reason for that's part of the reason for this premise is that, folks, it's up to you to invite listeners to come in here and listen to these archive shows here so they can do the research for themselves. I've got John in Austin. John, you're going to be up second. Susie in Arkansas. Susie, you're on with Michael. Go ahead.
Hi, Michael.
Hi.
I am so glad to hear you're back. Anyway, I just caught up with you recently. Yesterday, you said something about you wish you knew how many countries they had been kicked out of.
Well, go ahead.
Okay, there is a book, and it's called God's Chosen People.
Mm-hmm.
And it's by Ted Weiland. And in there, it's a great little book, and it's real simple to read, and you're going to know what's going on. But there's one full page there where they did a reprint of the first Farmer's Almanac of 1793.
Okay.
And it's written in the Old English style, which is very hard to interpret because they don't use any punctuation, so it takes a little study. But it explains different countries of Europe, when the Jews were kicked out, why, and sometimes what the repercussions were. Oftentimes it was child molestation, and sometimes worse.
Well, okay, in the information I got a hold of from Murren, Wisconsin, they've been kicked out 389 times. I don't know how many countries, but it lists, the sources are documented as to when they were kicked out. Now, some of it doesn't say why, but it's interesting that part of what you just said about molestation entered into part of the reason why Hitler kicked them out of Germany. And with that, yes, I appreciate that. I've written that down. Anything else before I move on to the next caller, Susie?
At another time, I have more information about what happened, why so many Jews died at the end of World War II, because I know a gentleman who was right there during the occupation, and he explained the whole thing. And when we have more time, I'll come back.
But let me just ask you, it has nothing to do with gas chambers, though, am I correct?
Right.
Exactly.
Just like a lot of people, there was no food. Most of them starved because there was no food. The last 6 months of the war, in Nice, and even after, anything that moved on the highway got bombed.
Right, yeah.
Could
you do me a favor and give me a buzz back tomorrow? Because there's a couple more things I want to touch on. I got other callers on the line, so I have to let you go. But I'd like to hear more about that if you'd call back in tomorrow or Friday.
Okay.
Would you do that? Thank you, Susie. Appreciate it. Let's go to John in Austin. John, you're on with Michael. Go ahead.
Hi, Michael.
Hi.
You hear me?
Yep.
I've got two things I want to say here. One, back in 2003, I was working with a guy. He was a retired maintenance supervisor from the University of Texas. And we were sitting having lunch one day. I was having my sandwich, and he was having his usual daily lunch of two Miller Lite beers. I just threw that in for comic effect. Just one day, happens up to tell me that when he was working at UT, they were approached by the owners of the World Trade Center because there were an urgent need of a new HVAC system. Do you know what an HVAC system is?
Heating, ventilation,
and air conditioning.
Right.
And they were in such a hurry to get one, the people who were the suppliers, you know, say, well, it's going to take us some time to get this together. And how they found out somehow, I don't know how, that the University of Texas had just taken delivery of a unit that would suit them. So they contacted the University of Texas and asked them would they be interested in selling them their unit because they were desperate to install it in the World Trade Center. And when he told me that, man, my chin hit the floor. Because at that point in time, I don't think there had been too much information coming out about the events of 9/11. So I was quite shocked at that. So that's that. The other thing is, are you familiar with Diego Garcia?
The name rings a bell.
Yeah, it's an island in the Indian Ocean. And what happened there was that as far back as, You remember Alan Watt that used to be on RBN?
Yeah, I'm the guy that got him on RBN. So, yeah, I know who Alan is.
Okay. Yeah, and how he always used to say, you know, the New World Order, they always plan well ahead. You know, at least 20, somewhere between 20 and 50 years, they make their plans as to what they're going to do. Now, I just happened to find this out by chance. But the British government and the U.S. government started conspiring between 1968 and 1973 to take over the island of Diego Garcia, which eventually became an American military base. And what they did was they basically threw the people off that island. I think they had a population of roughly 2,500 people, and they just took them away and they dropped them on Mauritius and the Seychelles, and they were literally left on the streets. And then they went ahead and they killed all the pets that these people have and proceeded to build their military base, which obviously was going to be used for their domination in the Middle East. So this all this stuff that happened was planned well in advance.
They killed all their pets. Okay, I'm writing this down. It doesn't surprise me. I mean, I'm just, this information is coming in from you and from Murr and from Carol and, you know, Pat and all these people. You know, I can't even keep up with it. I mean, I don't even know how to put it in chronological order. What I'm going through here today is not even, I haven't even touched on half of what this Rosenthal guy has to say. And it is absolutely abominable, some of the statements he comes out with. But yes, he evidently was murdered by his own people because the secrets that he told to that interviewer, okay, they didn't want us to know about. So anyway, with that, okay, yeah. Thanks, I'll let you go. I'll catch up with you later, buddy. How are you working on that, by that congressman who sent you that really wonderful piece? Have you worked on any of that at all in the response?
It's still in progress, so to speak.
Okay. All right. Well, it just shows you, you know, when this guy's talking about how stupid our politicians are, you have a letter that is proof of that. You know that, right?
Yeah.
All right. Thanks, John. Appreciate the call.
All right.
All right. Thanks. Okay. Getting back to this, you know, I'm not even through half of this. So, yes, I'm going to continue this on tomorrow's program. And, yes, Susie, I do want you to call back. If you have more information, please bring it to our attention. Let's see. Through our propaganda, the church has become our most vivid supporter and has even given us a special place in society, they believing the lie that we are the chosen people and they Gentiles. These deluded children of the church defend us to the point of destroying their own cultures. Jews need not have their finger on every button that causes a destruction or a Judaization of Christian civilization, as in many cases they have their proselytes or their Gentile fronts to do it for them. This truth is evident even to the dullard when one views history and sees that all wars have been white fighting white in order that we maintain our control. We controlled England during the Revolutionary War, the North during the Civil War, and England and America during World War I and World War II. And through our influence of religion, we were able to involve the ignorant white Christians in war against themselves, which always impoverished both sides while we reaped the financial and political harvest. Anytime truth comes forth which exposes us, we simply rally our forces, the ignorant Christians. They attack the Crusaders, even if they are members of their own families. Anyone who has been in the forefront exposing the truth of the Jewish issue can attest to this fact stated by Mr. Rosenthal. And though religion, we have gained complete control, through religion, we've gained complete control of society, government, and economics. No law is ever passed except it merits have previously been taught from the pulpits. An example of this is race equality, which led to integration and ultimately to mongrelization. The gullible clergy in one breath instruct their parishioners that we are a peaceful, chosen people, while in another breath proclaim all races are the same. Their inconsistency is never discovered. So we Jews enjoy a special place in society, while all other races are reduced to racial equality. It is for this reason that we authored the equality hoax, thereby reducing all to a lower level. We have been taught that our current economic practices are benevolent, therefore Christian. These pulpit parrots extol their goodness for loaning them the money to build their temples, never realizing that their own holy book condemns all usury. They are eager to pay our exorbitant interest rates. They have led society into our control through the same practice, and politically, they hail the blessings of democracy and never understand that through democracy, we have gained control of their nation. Their book, notice that Rosenthal always refers to the Bible as their book, the white people, never as our book, the Jews' book, and again teaches a benevolent, despotic form of government in accordance with the laws of that book, while a democracy is mob rule which we control through their churches, our news media, and economic institutions. Their religion is only another channel through which we can direct the power of our propaganda. These religious puppets, stupidly, is only exceeded by their cowardice, for they are ruled easily. Take a break. We'll be back with a final segment. Michael Herzog, The American Awakening, coming to you live from the Valley of the Sun. Great input from the callers today, by the way. Be right back.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
Folks, we're living in a world the likes of which we've never perceived any clearer than we do now. The plan for global governance has been in the works for generations and would have likely been achieved by now but for the fact that the globalists left open their Achilles heel. With all their tools, Federal Reserve System, fiat currency, No Child Left Behind, and then Common Core education introduced to our schools to dumb us down, vaccines, pharmaceuticals to lobotomize us, GMO foods, insertion of compromised or bought and paid for politicians, judges, mainstream media propaganda, all pieced together like a puzzle designed to ultimately bring the world under submission. But with all their strategy, they forgot one thing: knowledge. And knowledge is power. With knowledge, their bombardment is nullified. Folks, with that, as brilliant and knowledgeable as you've become, among the wisest audience of any radio audience in the world, and you are, I want you to take a moment to reflect and ask yourself, how much of that knowledge did I obtain from Republic Broadcasting Network? How high has my consciousness been raised since I've been a listener? How fast am I now able to discriminate truth from fake news by being a Republic Broadcasting listener? How clear am I now able to see the world since I've been listening to RBN? Ask yourselves those questions, folks. Then ask yourself, what is that knowledge worth to me? Like my morning coffee, how would I survive without it? A voice of truth in a sea of lies. Do we not all need to make sure it survives? Like public broadcasting, we are now finding we can only survive with listener support. Censorship, advertisers being attacked, truth itself being attacked. It's the only way through this. We at Republic Broadcasting humbly ask you to become a supporter. Look at your budget and make a determination of what Republic Broadcasting is worth to you and what you can afford on a monthly basis. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and pledge 20, 30, 40, 50, if possible, 100 a month or more if it's affordable. Click the donate button and become a regular monthly donor. Assure both us and yourself that Republic Broadcasting truth will continue to flow like that morning coffee. The network thanks you.
Folks, we're back. Final segment of the American Awakening. Michael Herzog, your host, coming to you live from the Valley of the Sun. Now, I've given you a lot to absorb today. You may want to go back and re-listen to the archives of this, but it's going to even get, I don't want to call it better or worse, it's going to get even more enlightening because it says the light dawns here. Rarely does any man confess the intimacy of his soul as did Mr. Rosenthal. and hindsight suggests that there was a greater force compelling this man to reveal what has been written here. The remainder of the interview seems to confirm this. Since we do not believe in a life after death, Rosenthal says, interesting, all our efforts are directed to the now. We are not as foolish as you and will never adopt an ideology that is rooted in self-sacrifice, whereas you will live and die for the benefit of the community. We will live and die only for our own individual self. And the idea of self-sacrifice is abhorred by Jews. It is abhorrent to me. No cause is worth dying for, since death is the end. The only time we unite is to preserve our individual selves, as a group of wolves unite to attack a prey, but then disperses after each is filled. So we Jews unite when peril is pending, not to preserve our community, but to save our own skin. Now, I'm going to stop there, folks, because I don't even know. Give me just a second here, because I'm going to draw a line right there. And I am going to continue down to see how far I am away from going into part two. Oh, this is just, there's a lot to absorb here, folks. yes, I'm not even close to part two. Part two is shorter than part one. I will just give you an excerpt from part two. And this is according to Rosenthal. Most Jews do not like to admit it, but our God is Lucifer. Well, in the context of everything we see, with the context of knowing that they deliberately attacked the Liberty, killed 34 men, injured 170, from what Zabrowski says, that they orchestrated 9/11 and killed 3,000 people on that day, that would make total sense, because our God wouldn't do that. The spirit withheld within people who do believe in God and Jesus Christ would not have the temerity to pull off such atrocious events as the attacking of the Liberty, of 9/11, of many, many other atrocities that have been contrived down through the years, other false flags that have been pulled off. And, folks, until we bring them to light, and part of your job, my job, I'm putting this out here, and, hey, you know what? This is some material that people just don't want to talk about. It's your job to bring people in and let them absorb for themselves what documented evidence there is of what is happening to us, the people of the world, not just the people of the United States, but the people of the world. And until we throw that curtain back and get these mind-numbed Americans to realize what's being done to them, we're screwed. I know you get that. So do me a favor, share this information with people that you know, or if you don't know how to share it or you don't really want to touch on it, just invite him to go in and listen to my archives, or the archives of Michael Rivero, who's coming up next, or John Stadtmiller. By the way, end of the show. Stay tuned for Michael Rivero. I'm sure he's going to have some interesting information for you. I'm going to start in back where we left off tomorrow. Have a good day, and bye for now.
There's nothing left for me to figure out. I've paid a price, and I'll keep paying. I'm not ready to make nice. I'm not ready to back down. I'm still mad as hell, and I don't have time to go round and round and round. It's too late to make it right. I probably wouldn't if I could, 'cause I'm mad as hell. Can't bring myself to do what it is you think.
Many people write us about their experience with Extendivite. Allow me to read you a few from Amazon.com. By Mel: great product. My husband and father-in-law use it regularly. Both my husband and father-in-law have had significant change in their blood pressure and overall health. By Amazon customer: it works for me. Returned to buy the tincture and the capsules as they were on sale during February. Unlike some other products, this one worked for blood pressure and occasional irregular heartbeat. Extendivite produced noticeable results after just two bottles, a four-month supply. I take Extendivite 3 times a day, every day. I think this supplement has helped with my increased fitness regime and to lower my blood pressure. Tell us your story. Get Extendivite today. Call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
extend your life with Extendovite.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.